Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. We're joined by Ingrid Newkirk, president of PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of peace, freedom, wellness, health, justice, and sustainability. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Welcome, Ingrid, and thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Oh, thanks for having me, Marlene. I'm delighted to be back. I love your show.
Thank you. And thank you for all you do and your team over at People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals also. Thank you. Well, there's a lot
to it isn't easy. Sometimes it's heartbreaking, and sometimes it's joyous when we have a victory, but it's all worthwhile, and you see all these animals who benefit from it.
Yes, I know. When I see all the work that you do worldwide, sometimes I think, how do they handle it? Because you really know what's going on everywhere with everything, and there's just so much atrocity and suffering to the animals. And so your work gives me hope.
Oh, thank you. But, you know, it's such a collection of people. Everybody who cares or is kind to some degree, any degree, is moved by something that happens to animals. And unfortunately, it's everything from this hideous Iditarod dog race where over 150 dogs have died out on the trail alone and their life between times is no good, to dogs on chains in backyards in all weather, to beasts of burden, as they're called, the horses and the camels, the ponies, the donkeys, working in the sand mines, the brick kilns, and traveling with, you know, taking tourists around the pyramids, to animals in experiments and the food industry and in entertainment. So if somebody cares at all, they mustn't be overwhelmed. They must just think, I bet there's something I could do. I don't want to not do anything. And if they come to the PETA website, they'll find lots they can do. They can just choose something.
Yes. Thank you all. Well, I'd love to hear more about the Hell on Wheels Chicken Truck Tour currently in Arkansas.
Ah, is that where it is? I can never keep track of it. It's a wonderful thing. It really is an eye-opener. This truck is designed so that it looks like a chicken truck. You know, chicken trucks usually travel at night when people can't see them on the highway. So it's unusual if you actually see what's happening to chickens on these trucks going to slaughter. They're yanked out of their farm cages, thrown into crates, and down the road they go to their deaths. Our chicken truck obviously has no real chickens in it, but it's decorated in such a way, such clever artwork, photographs, all put together in the form of a chicken truck. So you can see these chickens looking out, chickens collapsed, chickens crying out through the... It's all real, but it's in the form of photographs so that you, if you see it, you think it's a chicken truck. And it has a soundtrack, and the soundtrack is the real sounds that chickens make when they're upset. And, of course, they are upset going down the road. And on the bottom, it says, if this upsets you, please go vegan. And we have vegan starter kits that are free that we give out to everyone. And what we're doing is parking it, going to a town and parking it outside one chicken restaurant after another, like Chick-fil-A and KFC and all these places, so that people who are going in might think twice. And at least when they go home, they'll think about it. And many people take their pictures in front of the truck and put them on social media. And you can see all about the truck on our website, too.
Yes. Your employee, Sky Morgan, who's the Hell on Wheels chicken truck driver, he does an excellent job phenomenal. I commend him.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it. It's no surprise. He's deeply devoted to helping animals out of terrible situations. And not many people have been inside a slaughterhouse, but we all know in our hearts, in our heads, we know it's a hideous place. You'd never take a child there for a picnic. You know, it's just ghastly. There is a painting by that wonderful artist, Sue Coe, and it's of her experience as a child. She and her sister lived next door to a slaughterhouse, and they could hear the sounds of the animals. And, of course, they were always wondering as children, what's going on, what's going on? Their parents wouldn't tell them. So one day they went down the road to the next farm over, and they got to the slaughterhouse door, and it was ajar, and they stepped inside, and what they saw, of course, changed them forever. And Sue Coe has painted what they saw, and the painting is of the two young girls standing at the door looking in, and it was a revelation. And we are trying to get people to have that revelation that you can't just go to the store or a restaurant or cook a slice of an animal's body and think it's okay just because other people do it. It's not okay. They're like you. You know, we always say every animal is someone, and they are. They're individuals, and they feel just as much as me and you and anyone else listening. And so we can't just carry on with this. And beyond that, we have to do something more than wake ourselves up and change our own habits. We have to enlist other people to open their eyes and their hearts and their minds to what's going on and get them to stop supporting such abominable cruelty.
Yes, thank you, Ingrid. And speaking of what we can do every day, three times a day, and especially this month as Mother's Day has just passed, and I'm happy to see that on the PETA website, there's many great vegan recipes for Mother's Day brunch and all meals. So again, thank you for practical tips to help everyone to become nonviolent and to become compassionate and create joy and peace and freedom for everyone on this planet.
Well, you know, Marlene, when I was growing up, and I'm 75 now, nobody talked about being vegan. And our family loved animals, so we said, so we thought. But that really meant dogs and horses and maybe a baby bird who fell out of a tree. But we ate them, we wore them, and we didn't really think about it. We didn't connect the dots. But now it's so easy. I mean, there is no excuse at all. I was just speaking to somebody this morning who makes a product called Caveat. And we've been using this for some years. It's caviar, but it's vegan caviar. So no fish has their stomach cut open and the roe taken out. This, if you like the taste of a caviar salted on crackers with cream cheese, you can get vegan cream cheese, vegan caviar, and vegan crackers. And that's at the high end. But my goodness, do you know every supermarket has tons of plant milks of all kinds, tons of vegan cheeses and sausages, and there's now even a fried egg. You can get a boiled egg, that wonder egg that's a hard-boiled egg to put on salads. I mean, there really is no excuse. Any taste you've ever wanted comes in vegan now. And if anybody says, oh, but it's so expensive, some things are, but so are some meat and dairy things. But most things are not. You can have beans and rice and salsa and pastas with wonderful vegetables and garlic and all sorts of fabulous cuisines and ordinary meals. And they're just as tasty as can be, and you will not be contributing to cruelty and suffering and oppression and violence at all.
Yes, wonderful. Thank you, Ingrid. And speaking of that, I have to tell you how much I enjoy your book, Free the Animals. It's great. You are an excellent writer. The details and the characters, all of it. And it was also very exciting and nice to read a word from Chrissy Hynde of The Pretenders and also the wonderful Joaquin Phoenix with the foreword to your book. It's really a great book. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. I designed it to be an easy read and very uplifting because every single story is a true story of animals who came out of laboratories. The Animal Liberation Front did their research, they did their homework, they risked their own freedom, and they found their way into these hideous places, and they got the animals out. And in some cases, those animals were never replaced. And you hear the stories of the animals' drive to freedom, their new homes, all that sort of thing. Chrissy Hynde is super. She's on tour now, if anybody wants to listen to her with The Pretenders. And she was always known for years by a leather jacket that she wore. And she became a vegetarian and then a vegan. And she decided, oh, gosh, what am I doing? I'm wearing an animal skin. This skin belonged to a cow, and somebody killed the cow and took the skin, and I have the jacket on. I don't want to be known for this. So she now has a faux leather jacket. And, of course, today, if you look at the label, a lot of leather is apple leather, flower leather, grape leather, all sorts of plant leathers, just like plant milks. And Joaquin, of course, he's fantastic. In the beginning, in the introduction, he talks about going down to the slaughterhouse and standing outside, being part of a vigil as they watch the animals going in through the gates, and tried to give them a little comfort before the moment came. And then he got a mother cow and her calf out of one of them. He appealed to management, and they thought, oh, it's Joaquin Phoenix. So he was able to get the mother and the calf, and they're on a sanctuary. It's a wonderful book. I say so myself because I just told the stories, but the stories are all real, and the stories are all wonderful because they mean that animals no longer suffered in those cages. They no longer had anything done to them, like electrodes put in their brains or, you know, deprived of water to see if they would do some horrible thing because they were so desperate to get a drink. It's all just very uplifting.
Yes, and I was happy to read that story about Joaquin saving the mom, Liberty, and her baby, Indigo. So that was great. And again, your book is phenomenal. Thank you. And I'd love
Thank you. You know, Marlene, there's a film about to come out. It's the story of another Miss Liberty, a cow with the same name, and it's premiering in New York very soon. And it's also a joyous film, a wonderful film, about this lovely cow called Miss Liberty and how she escapes. She's a dairy cow, so-called dairy cow, and which I always think that title is like handmaiden or handmaid. And she gets away, and this is her story. I think it should win more awards than Barbie and Oppenheimer because it's a true story that's in the here and now, and it shows you things that you can do to save other dairy cows by, you know, get the soy yogurt, get the rice cheese, get the, you know, plant milk, and when you get a pizza, either keep the dairy cheese off or put some vegan cheese on it. It's really super film, Miss Liberty.
Great. And speaking of New York, I'm excited to hear about your new speaking tour, All Together Now, and your stop in New York City on June 8th.
Yes, I will be there. Details, I think, are on the PETA website. I'll be doing that talk on the 8th and one in Toronto on the 9th. I won't tell you much about the talk itself, except that I promise that anyone who goes to it will emerge with some interesting new facts they might not have thought about. And, of course, the overall thing is not to depress anyone. I really try hard never to do that, but to amuse, entertain, educate, and have people come together with a community of kind people so that they have new friends, new experiences, and we will have an incredible array of food. It will be a brunch, and there will be those vegan eggs, pancakes and strawberries and cream, and who knows what, vegan sausages. It will all be phenomenal. Everyone has been raving about the food.
Oh, delicious. Thank you, Ingrid. tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Nara in Worcester, Massachusetts. We're very fortunate to be joined by Ingrid Newkirk, the president of PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Ingrid Newkirk. Louder Than Words by Carbon Works. This is Dr. Neil Barnardsby. Welcome back from the break. Thanks again for tuning in to Vegan Nation. We're continuing our conversation with Ingrid Newkirk, and then we have more vegan music at the close of the program. Ingrid Newkirk is joining us via Skype from Norfolk, Virginia. From your PETA website, I learned about the Thai coconut, which I didn't know about.
Yes, that's really a shocker. We did undercover investigations, a couple of them in Thailand. And, for example, we're campaigning now against Whole Foods' own brand of Thai coconut milk, because what we found on many of these coconut supply farms, big farms, lots of coconut trees, is they don't use mechanical pickers, and they don't shake the trees, and they don't send men up the trees. Many, many of them have taken monkeys from the wild, extracted their teeth. They keep them on chains or in small cages out in all weather. They can barely move. And then they train them with force, with violence, to climb the trees. And they have to shake down the coconuts. And they work them all day doing this. These monkeys have lost any form of socialization. They've lost their lives to out in the jungle. They are just kept in this awful way and trained in this awful way, and they're slaves. So that Thai coconut milk that you see in the store, we shouldn't buy it at all. We're saying don't buy any coconut milk from Thailand. Coconut milk from Indonesia, from India, from Vietnam, all good. No monkey labor. So when you're putting coconut milk or coconut cream in your cooking, make sure it is not from Thailand. Because the government of Thailand is trying to cover it up. You know, it's like the government of Malaysia that says, oh, it's okay to buy palm oil. We're going to send the orangutans, whose habitat is being destroyed, to China, to zoos. They'll be fine. And you think, no, not going to do it. So just make sure and tell everybody, please, and write to cooking shows and write to people who have recipes with coconut milk online. Just put a comment. You know, your voice is so important to comment on everything, because that's what makes change, is no Thai coconut milk. That's it.
Thank you, Ingrid. And when I see the photos and the videos of the macaque monkeys, it is heartbreaking. And to think that those beautiful, precious beings, the macaque monkeys, are also prisoners and slaves in so many laboratories, especially the pharmaceutical laboratories and the lab animal breeding facilities. It's just so heartbreaking to think that our own governmental agencies, including the NIH, are all the victimizers.
They are indeed. It is an absolute scandal, an atrocity, that monkeys, macaque monkeys, are being imported from countries like Vietnam, Cambodia, all over. They're taken from the jungles. They're family animals. They have children. They have mothers. They have sisters. They're a close-knit social group, and they catch them in really cruel ways. They're petrified, and they put them in little crates. You can imagine, it's just like us, putting us in a wooden crate and thrown in a plane. They may travel for 30 or more hours like that. No food, no water, no comfort, just fear. And then they are unloaded in the United States, Canada, and they're put into a laboratory. They find their world has been reduced to a tiny steel cage in a whitewashed room, and there's nothing to do, see, touch, nobody else. And then they're experimented on. So every time the door handle turns, every time someone comes in the room, their hearts are thudding, their adrenaline is going up, they are just petrified. Because what's going to happen to them every time? They struggle to no avail, they scream to no avail. Our videos are the stuff of nightmare. You know, Freddy or Friday the 13th or any, it's nothing compared to the real horror of what our taxpayer money goes to torment individuals who are just like us. And you see them, they bang on the cages, they get their hands around the cages and they rattle them and rattle them, they bang their heads against them. And then in frustration, they whirl in the cages and they take bites out of their arms. We have to make sure that we don't forget them. And we have to make sure that we go to our members of Congress and keep rattling on about this. We need to be there saying, what are you going to do to stop the NIH from continuing to torture animals? And the same with universities. I was just reading some small university in the middle of nowhere, 100,000 animals plus used every year. 100,000 animals in one little university, and you multiply that by all the colleges and universities who use animals that are stuffed away in their basements, and then look at NIH and National Institute of Mental Health, where they really do torture animals. They frighten them deliberately. They put plastic snakes and spiders, as I've mentioned to you before. They put them in front of them suddenly, and then they operate on their brains, and they put screws in their skulls, and they see, they mess with their eyes, they give them psychotropic drugs. Stop it. You know, this is just, it's as if psychopaths, I think it is, psychopaths in charge. So what are we doing torturing these animals? Everyone needs to be involved. Please, talk to your reps.
Thank you, Ingrid. Thank you very much. Again, it's amazing and very powerful, all the work that you've done all these decades. And I do believe that because of your presence on this planet and your love and your commitment, that this will be a vegan paradigm on planet Earth someday and hopefully very soon.
Oh, thank you, Marlene. It's just because of people like you doing things, and there's so much to do, that things will change. Things are changing, and more things must change.
Yes, thank you. And we're coming to a close in the interview for today, Ingrid. What additional messages do you have for our listeners, and what contact information would you like to share?
I'd love everybody to know that their voice is powerful, their purse is powerful, and they must never be silent. So whenever you see anything that's wrong, comment on it. Whenever you see something that's right, comment on it. Animals depend on us. They're not voiceless. They have voices, but nobody's listening to them unless you make sure their voice is amplified. Go to peter.org and please pick something. Pick three things, pick five things, 100 things. Pick one thing and do it. Just weigh in for the animals. Let's reduce suffering together.
Thank you, and thank you very much, Ingrid, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene. All the best.
Thank you. And your voice is so beautiful. It's just really beautiful, and I'm reading your book, and your words are powerful and beautiful, and your voice is heavenly, and you're so intelligent and so committed and so compassionate. Thank you so much.
Oh, that's much too much. Thank you so much, Marlene.
I dedicate this song to Ingrid Newkirk.
They are falling, falling one by one.
This is Rodeo by Ellie Sartre.
Down and bound at a weak spot, branded silent tongue. Dust rolls like tumbleweed pillows that
a vegan musician based in Worcester, Massachusetts. Ellie is the founder of Compassion Arts.
And the undone at the rodeo.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
lights against the blue immortal sky swirl and swing, circling for the thing it can't hide. A taste of omnipotence, opium, sweet. The more you get, the more you need. At the rodeo,
to thank my guest Ingrid Newkirk, president of PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. And I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. Please join us again next week at the same time. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. Wishing you a safe and pleasant day. May all beings be safe, happy, and free.